Tale of Two Dodges.
We'll focus on income inequality in Michigan ahead of Tuesday's primary.
From APM American Public Media, I'm Adrian Hill in Los Angeles.
And I'm Jeremy Hobson, broadcasting this week from Michigan Radio in Ann Arbor. You're listening to the Midday Update from Marketplace.org. It is Friday, February 24th.
Coming up, what do more college grads mean for the economy?
I'll travel to two neighborhoods in the Detroit area that share a name, but that's about it.
And choosing who you're going to sit next to on your flight based on online profiles.
Those stories and more just ahead on the Marketplace Midday Update.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
We'll start in Michigan, where Jeremy's been reporting all week.
That's right. We're here at Michigan Radio in Ann Arbor to focus on the real economy ahead of next Tuesday's primary election.
So, Jeremy, leading up to that primary, what have you learned about how the economy is affecting voters?
Well, it's a very mixed picture here. We just spent time in two very different parts of the Detroit area, one very wealthy, one not wealthy at all, and people's views of the economy are different. But one of the people that we talked to in Grosse Pointe, which is a fancy suburb, a guy named Fred Satterland, he deals in auto parts supplies, and so he was helped by the auto bailout a few years ago, and here's what he had to say about that.
Bailing out the car companies was a good thing. You can always argue about who got the short end of that deal and who got better off.
But the interesting thing, Adrian, is he's not going to vote for President Obama. He plans to vote next Tuesday for Rick Santorum.
So, Jeremy, it's not just bailout politics there. How else is the economy affecting Michigan voters?
Well, we've been talking about a comeback that some are seeing in the auto industry. GM just reported some big profits. People are looking. They're saying the auto companies, they're back on their feet again. But the fact is that even as the unemployment rate here has dropped from a 14% peak down to about 9%, some look at that and say that's not because all those people got jobs. It's because many of them have left the state. They've gone to other places, perhaps Texas, where they can get jobs. And the other thing is, Adrian, I talked to you the other day about the fact that there's a surplus right now in the state of Michigan and that the governor is, even though he had made big cuts in education, is going to put some of that money back. Well, after that was on the radio, we got a call from a local school official here in Michigan who said, well, that's true. He's putting some money back, but it's not nearly as much as he took away. So still many people starting from a much lower point than they were just 5 years ago in Michigan.
Interesting stuff. Well, right now, the Republican primary in Michigan is close. Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum are leading the pack. Romney's doing his best to sway voters to his side by playing up his Michigan roots and pushing hard for a law that would get rid of mandatory union membership. Michigan Radio's Jennifer Guerra reports.
By now, you've probably heard how much Mitt Romney loves Michigan. The trees, the lakes, the cars. But the state's current labor laws, not so much. Here's Romney at a recent campaign stop in Michigan.
My view is every person in America ought to have the right to choose whether to join a union or not. And so I'm in favor of right-to-work legislation.
So-called right-to-work laws would allow union workers to opt out of joining a union and paying dues. Romney has been making it a big talking point as he campaigns across Michigan. Republican State Representative Mike Shirkey could not be happier with the timing.
The fact that Governor Romney has chosen to make this a key part of his message in Michigan is awesome for us.
Shirkey plans to introduce a right-to-work bill to the Michigan legislature soon. 23 states have already passed similar laws. Shirkey says a right-to-work law will bring more investment to Michigan. Opponents say it's flat-out union-busting. Michigan's Republican governor, Rick Snyder, who endorsed Romney, calls the whole right-to-work debate divisive. He says focusing on fixing the economy is more important. In Ann Arbor, I'm Jennifer Guerra for Marketplace.
Now we're going to do something a little different. We're going to visit two places in the Detroit area, just 10 miles apart, but with the same name, Dodge. The first stop is in the shadow of a big GM plant, and as usual in February, it's a cold Michigan day. We've just arrived on Dodge Street, and like the other streets around it, there are only so many houses. Most of the lots on this street are just empty lots that are filled with overgrown grass. Vanetta Kearns has been here for 30 years.
Come on in the house.
And how have things changed on this street in that time?
Band houses, dope houses, all that.
So in the last few years, as the economy's gotten really bad here in Detroit and around the country, what's happened in that time?
Well, they done knocked down a lot of the abandoned houses.
Just in the last few years?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How's the recession been for you personally?
All right. I own this house, so I ain't going nowhere.
What about income?
I'm laid off right now, though.
You're laid off right now?
Yeah.
Are you drawing unemployment?
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to keep that for some time or
About a year.
About a year.
Hopefully I'll be called back.
And what are you thinking about how Washington and how Congress and all that?
I don't even want to go there.
No.
I mean, we can't do nothing because they got more power than us. If Obama don't get in there, we hit. Republicans not looking out for us. They looking out for the rich.
Now, your state has a primary coming up next week on the Republican side. Have you been watching any of that stuff going on?
I watch it, but I ain't voting for them.
What have you heard from them?
I ain't heard nothing from them. I've been getting Democratic mail and stuff, but I ain't no Republican.
They haven't been down here on Dodge Street?
Mm-mm. I haven't seen them.
Well, now we have come to the home of the Dodge name. This is where Horace Dodge, the automobile pioneer, lived. This is Grosse Pointe, Michigan. It's a very fancy suburb of Detroit, and we're going to ask people here how they think things are going.
Well, my name is Jim Thompson.
How long have you lived here in Grosse Pointe?
Only 36 years.
36 years, and how has it changed over the years?
It's more interesting. It's a more interesting city. There's much more going on, and I like it.
How has it changed since the recession really got going a few years ago?
Property values have dropped by 47%, so I think everybody's got to sort of pull back a little bit and take a close look at what's important.
How do you think the economy is doing right now? Is there a recovery going on, or what do you think?
Right now, it's not bad, but luck out for three big new taxes coming up in January. Plus the raises that they have proposed in the new budget. So, no, I think there's big problems ahead of us.
Big problems. And who do you blame those problems on, if anybody?
I don't blame it on anybody. I think people are in jobs without real experience. We have people in Congress and president who have never run a business, have no idea what they're talking about. And, you know, we get people that are inexperienced, and that's the heart of the problem.
So there's a primary next week. Are you going to be voting in it?
Oh, absolutely. We've already voted.
And who did you vote for?
That's confidential.
Confidential. What are you looking for in the next president, then?
Somebody with experience that knows what they're talking about, that have done it before, that have actually run something, that have had hands-on experience, and that's what I'm looking for.
So we've heard about the two extremes in and around Detroit, but do the people worried about their property values in Grosse Pointe feel any connection to the people worried about their jobs just 10 miles away on Dodge Street?
My sense is that they drive through that part of Detroit, if they ever drive through it, as quickly as possible.
Micheline Maynard is senior editor at Changing Gears, which reports on the future of the Midwest economy.
And this has always been an issue with Detroit. When you were kind of at the lower end of it, you did the best you could. But once you climbed out of it, you kind of turned your back on what was back there.
One big problem now is that Michigan's modern economy is one of slimmed-down automakers and weakened unions. Economist Charles Ballard at Michigan State University says that economy doesn't provide a ticket to the middle class like it once did.
We still are dealing with some of the lingering after-effects of being victims of our success from 50 years ago. We built this economy where a person with only a high school education could get upper-middle-class wages and benefits. That's almost entirely gone, and yet we still lag behind the national average in terms of the educational attainment of our population.
And the rebound that's being seen in the auto industry isn't going to help a worker who's not properly educated. The new jobs will be jobs that require new skills that have to be learned. And the promises from politicians about a rising tide that will lift all boats, well, here's what Ballard says about those.
We're going to hear people on both sides, I think, saying, I want to grow the economy. Well, we've proven in the United States in the last 40 years that we can grow the economy. The challenge is finding economic growth that shares its benefits widely.
Back on Dodge Street, Vanetta Kearns isn't buying the promises, but she does have a message for politicians if they'll listen.
Get ourselves together. I mean, instead of fighting against each other, just make things meet. Go half and half something. not just one-sided look out for everybody, because we all here.
Vanetta Kearns in one of the few remaining houses on Dodge Street. Our Michigan coverage was produced by Jolie Podokas, edited by Ethan Lindsay, and engineered by Charlton Thorpe. Special thanks to our hosts here at Michigan Radio in Ann Arbor, especially Bob Skahn, Vince Duffy, and Tamar Charney.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to FreakonomicsRadio.com.
The U.S. has reached a major education milestone. For the first time ever, more than 30% of U.S. adults have a college degree. Back in 1998, less than a quarter of the population had graduated. For more, we called up Anthony Carnevale. He heads the Center on Education and the Workforce at Georgetown University. Good morning.
Good morning.
So why is the number of people with college degrees going up?
The demand for college has been rising since the 1980s. In fact, college has become pretty much the express ticket to the middle class and one of the only guarantees. More than 60% of the jobs in the American economy now require some level of education after high school, and a good 40% of them require a bachelor's degree or better.
Now, what's it mean for the economy that more people are getting these bachelor's degrees?
It's very good news for the economy. That is, people with higher levels of education are more productive. That's very clear, especially when they work in collaboration with flexible technology. In these times, that means our old friend the computer hooked up to all sorts of other technologies.
Do we have enough high-skilled jobs in this country for all these new grads?
Yes, we do. The demand for college graduates has been rising at about 3% a year since 1982, but our production of these graduates has only been rising by about 1%.
So is one bachelor's degree as good as the next?
In the final analysis, what you make and whether you can get a job depends on what you take. If you get a BA in petroleum engineering, you'll be the most highly paid and most sought after degree holder in the current economy. If you get a degree in counseling, social work, you'll make roughly a third of that, and your unemployment rate is going to be substantially higher. Will be 6 or 7% for some time to come.
Georgetown's Anthony Carnevale, thanks.
Thank you.
The Dutch airline KLM has launched a new seating program. And no, this isn't another story about paying for your aisle seat. KLM is going to let flyers choose who they sit next to based on their online profiles. Marketplace's Eve Tro reports.
There are two types of airline passengers, says George Hobica of AirfareWatchdog.com.
Those who put their headphones on and bury themselves in a book, and those who are more social and who realize that actually the person sitting next to you could be your next business partner.
Or a dinner date. KLM's Meet and Seat program lets passengers post details from Facebook or LinkedIn. They can ping others who've shared data and ask to meet up before the flight, sit together, or share a taxi home. KLM's launched the service on just two routes. About 200 passengers have taken part. Simon Haslam at the Social Research Association says KLM gets innovation cred for doing this first.
It doesn't necessarily need to work in the long term for them to benefit in the short term for relatively low cost.
He expects more airlines to follow their lead, using existing social media to engage customers on the cheap. Though he says it's too early to tell who's more likely to use this type of service. Colleagues headed to a business conference or singles looking for love. Sites for the latter already exist. If you didn't get a chance to talk to that hottie 2 rows back, there's WeMetOnAPlane.com to track them down later. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
Basketball star Michael Jordan is suing a Chinese company that makes sportswear and shoes. He says Chowdan is using his name without permission and has filed suit in a Chinese court. For more, we go to the BBC's Martin Patience in Beijing. Good morning.
Good morning.
What is Michael Jordan accusing this Chinese company of doing wrong exactly?
Well, he's accusing this firm of unauthorized use of his name. Now, Michael Jordan in Chinese is called Chowdan. And certainly in China is basketball crazy. And Michael Jordan or Chowdan is a name that can be used to sell sportswear. So that's what he's accusing this firm of doing unofficially using his name.
So what happens from here then?
Well, he's filed a case in a Chinese court. It's not clear how that will proceed. But certainly this is a continuing issue in China. I think the argument would be that they're not using the Michael Jordan brand per se. They're using the Chao Dan brand, which is obviously his Chinese name.
Now, in the past, we've also heard allegations of entirely fake Apple stores, almost completely recreated American trucks like a Ford F-150. What's going on?
Well, the rule of law in China is weak and copyright laws are often flouted. I mean, just to give you an example, in Beijing, I don't know where I go to buy a genuine DVD of a Hollywood film. That's how pervasive the problem is in terms of copyright. China would say that it's a developing country. This is an issue in the developing world. The authorities say they're trying to take tougher measures. But when you speak to companies here, they say this is a problem that the Chinese authorities simply haven't got a hold of.
The BBC's Martin Patience in Beijing. Thanks.
Thank you.
And Jeremy, looking for a few extra dollars or maybe a few extra hundreds of thousands of dollars?
Always.
Always. There's always the pawn shop. According to Reuters, pawn shops that cater to the wealthy have started taking wine in collateral. And no, we're not talking Yellowtail Merlot or Two Buck Chuck, because you can probably guess how much we get for that. Yeah. Instead, these pawn shops are paying out for cases of Chateau de Kim and Chateau Margaux.
And for today's Midday Extra, a few thoughts from the folks who live here in Michigan as we depart on hard times, getting by, and about hope.
I know there are still multiple struggles. You know, I have a fiance that's a teacher, so, you know, she's still currently looking for work out there. You know, I know it's tough, but you can always find an industry that's hiring, and I really feel like you can always find work out there. I mean, me personally, I mean, I don't even have a college degree, okay? I got my GED, and I'm doing fine. This is just through my hard work, and I decided to do that. And I really feel like you can pass that along to anybody.
We've all taken some pay cuts. I've had to tighten my belt. But then, too, I don't put those who are presently in office to blame because we saw it coming. There is an election coming, and I'm going to speak by voting. So I'm hopeful. You know, I haven't given up.
We're in the used furniture business, so there's kind of an upside to that. We see a lot of college students and people buy, you know, secondhand furniture, and a lot of people set stuff out on the curb and getting kicked out. So we get a lot of inventory from, you know, driving around and estate sales. So I guess there's an upswing to everything, I guess.
I think it's kind of on the comeback. It's miserable for me because at this point I'm unemployed and have been for some time. You know, there's a lot of things we go without. Part of the reason why I'm back in school. You know, I'm taking initiative. You know, hopefully in 5 years I'll have my own business. There's always hope. Who am I to say that? There's always hope. You know, we just keep hopeful.
Adam Fleeman in Lansing, Elaine Davis in Detroit, Lamar Hill in Grand Rapids, and Solomon Burns in Flint. In Ann Arbor, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
And I'm Adrienne Hill in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Midday Update.
This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.